Okay, as Rav Yamin announced, that it's truly a schus. The schus is all mine, not Rav Yamin's. It's really a schus to be here, and Baruch Hashem, I get the opportunity to come out a couple times a year, share some Divrei Torah, which is very, very special. I imagine most of the group here is first year, second? Everybody, together. Also Shana Bet together. Okay, so welcome back to the Shana Bet, people who are here for the second year. It's beautiful, it's very special for you guys to be able to have the opportunity to continue here in Israel. Those of you who have just gotten here a few weeks ago and are still in the shock mode of Elul, I understand 100%, more than you realize, I understand exactly where you're coming from. Okay, so we're try to ease into something here in terms of the Yom Narayim. Obviously, that's the main theme of this month. The Meiri points out that we have a halacha. The Gemara says there's a concept called Shloshim Yom Lifnei Hachag Dorshim B'Chag. It's a concept that 30 days before a holiday comes up, one of the Chagim, we already start to talk about the Chag. We start to give drushas, we start to teach the halachas. People have to be prepared before they get to the particular holiday we're coming to, the Chag we're coming to. The Rishonim point out that this is really only true by Pesach and by Sukkot, because those are the Chagim that have a tremendous amount of halachas, so people really need 30 days to get ready. But points out to the Meiri that not on a halachic level, but clearly on a machshava level, and clearly in terms of introspection and thinking about a little bit about who we are, what we want to be. So the 30 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, is the 30 days that we're Doresh B'chag. We're 30 days we speak about and talk about Rosh Hashanah and the Aseres Mitzvah and the culmination of Yom Kippur. And that's Bidyuk, the period we're in right now. We're about 20 days in, about two-thirds of the way there. And this is the time for us to be Osek and to discuss the different concepts and different ideas about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Now, what's difficult in my position coming in and speaking is that I'm sure already you've heard many, many different shiurim and different talks about different aspects, and different factors, and different components that go into Rosh Hashanah. I'm sure I'm somech on the tzevet here, the staff, and the rabbeim here. They've been doing the appropriate preparation hachana, so it's hard for me to come and mechadish something new that maybe you haven't heard. But if the whole talk is begeder chazara and it's a review for everybody, so I apologize for that. If, b'cholzo, there's something that I add, which is b'nosaf, what you've heard so far, or a different perspective, or a different concept, or I add something new, that would even be an even bigger benefit for both of us. So, I want to ask the four questions. And I'm aware that this is not Pesach, okay? And we usually on Pesach, we deal with the Manishtan, we ask the four questions. But I want to deal with a different four questions tonight. I want to start off the shiur with four questions, and then we'll give an explanation, and we'll come back, and we're going to answer the four questions. One of the big puzzles of the Haggadah is we ask four questions, then it's not really clear where the answers are. You end up going into Avadim Hayinu, and it's then clear what is that coming to answer, and how does that relate to all four questions. I hope that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give me Sat Dishmai to explain what I want to say out, then hopefully the four questions will be asked, and hopefully the four questions will also be answered, and we'll have some very concrete message we could take as we go forward towards Rosh Hashanah. I want to talk about Tefillah, specifically the Shemona Esrei, specifically the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. And I want to discuss and contrast it a little bit to our everyday tefillah. Okay? I'll explain what I'm talking about. We'll take it slow. You look on your sheet, okay, the very first source is a Yalkut Shimoni. There's a Yalkut Shimoni, it's two lines. I want to zero in on. It's a Pasuk in Tehillim. The Pasuk in Tehillim says the following. Pana el tefillat ha'arar velo baza et tefillatam. Literally translated by Rabbi Stone, Art Scroll, says, he will have turned to the prayer of each devastated one and not have despised their prayer. That's the Pasuk, literally translated, in Tehillim Kuf Beis. What does the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni say about this? The Medrash says the following. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, the second line at the top. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak klapei dorot amra. This is said for the future generations. She'ein lahem lo kohen v'navi. They won't have a kohen and they won't have a navi. V'lo beis hamikdash. We're missing many very important components. I don't know why it says lo kohen. It's very insulting. I actually am one of those, and I'm here. I'm not the kohen gadol, but I can't go if naively if nim. There's no beis hamikdash, but we have some kohen, but we're clearly not in the same madrega as they once had. Lo kohen v'navi v'lo beis hamikdash she'chaper. We don't have the things that give us kapar to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Ella hatfila nishtayra lahem. All we have left is our tfilos. That's when we come to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We can't come with any other avoda. Okay, the special avoda is the karbanos we used to have, and the special shlichim, the shaliach that we had in the Tamidish, the kohen, the navi. We don't have those people anymore. But we have tfila. That's our koach. What tfila? Nishtayra lahem shehemit palimosa berosh hashanah v'yom kippurim. The special tfilos they said shenem kippur. Don't turn them in. Don't be despised by them. Don't turn your face away from them. That's what it means in the pasuk. It says, don't be despised by their tefilos. Very simple. We have tefilos. We ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, please accept our tefilos. I want to ask one first question. I have a better idea, a different idea than Rabbi Yitzchak. Why don't we dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu and ask him that we don't have a Kohen, we don't have an Avi, we don't have a Samidash, but we have Tfilos. And every day we have Tfilos. And we have three Tfilos every single day at least. Some days we have four. On a Shabbos or a Yom Tov, we may have five even. Why don't we ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, please don't turn away from the Tfilos that we say to you every single day. We ask Kadosh Baruch Hu for 3 days in the year. Rosh Hashanah is two, and Yom Kippur, we say, please don't turn away our tefillos on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And the other 362 days a year, he should turn away those tefillos. What good is that going to do us? So we got three in and 362 out. In my math, okay, this is not a good situation. We should daven that the 362 days Hashem should accept our tefillos, and if those include Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that's even better. And if it doesn't include those, okay, at least 362 days, Hashem is going to accept our tefillos three times a day. Or twice a day, the girls only daven twice, 3 times, I don't know, whatever it is. Okay? But at least twice or three times a day. Oh, I got another idea. The Medrash could say, accept our tefillos that we have on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and all the days of the year. Why is it left out? The fact that we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu daily. We have a request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's not mentioned whatsoever in the Medrash. Question number one. Question number two. If I were to ask, maybe I will ask a little bit. If I were to ask you to take out right now, okay, a piece of paper, most of you have one already out, and I would ask you to start listing things that you would like for the upcoming year. Write down a wish list for a Kadosh Baruch Hu of what you would like. Okay? You should do this. Okay, maybe not right the second, but what are the first few things that come to your mind that you would like to ask for on the wish list from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Anyone want to say one? Yes?
Health,
happiness. What else? Yeah?
Peace.
That's good. What else? What did you say?
Mashiach.
What else?
Success.
Parnassah, maybe? That's connected. Okay. Excellent. Yeah?
Clarity.
Maybe that's like das. Knowledge, like intelligence. Very good. Excellent. So that's what I would put on my list also. The problem is that Anshei Knesset HaGedolah did not think like we did. Was if you have this list and you come to Rosh Hashanah, you take out from your pocket, take out your little wish list, okay, you come to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you come to the tefillah, okay, and you're going to zero in on the moments that you're really going to focus on asking for das, and for refuah, for health, and for happiness, and for parnasa, and for kibbutz galuyos, and for binyan Yerushalayim, and for the Mashiach coming. And what do they throw at you? Uvechein tein pachtecha, and it sends you to melocha kolam kulo b'chvodecha, Hashem is going to be the melech on the whole world. It's very, very beautiful. That's not what I was expecting to talk about. If you asked me my opinion, humble opinion, and that's what all you just said basically, is we should have instituted on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur what we say every single day. That's exactly what we want. Think about the tefillah. Das, tshuva, slicha, no tzaras, refuah, parnasa, kibbutz galios, Sanhedrin, Beis HaMikdash. What? That's the list we're looking for. And we're thrown for a loop. All of a sudden, we get to the tefillah, and it's not there. So we could stick it in somewhere, maybe after a kind of tzurah at the end, we could stick in our own bakashas, but the words don't speak that way. Why not? If it's good enough 362 days of the year, why was it not good for Hashanah Yom Kippur? Especially since those are really the things we really are in our hearts, those are the things we really, really want. So why is it not there? How do I get them there? And why are they purposely omitted? You can't say they didn't know about them because they made a nusach of tefillah for all the rest of the year that had those things in it. They were aware of those things that we want, those things. That's question number two. Question number three. There is a sefer called Nefesh HaChaim, which is written by Chaim Volozhin from the Volozhin Yeshiva. He was Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. He wrote a sefer called Nefesh HaChaim, and he was a Talmud of the Gra. And Chaim Volozhin, his sefer, the first two, he spoke into different shars. Okay, the first two sharim deal with very, very lofty, esoteric, very far out concepts of the world and how things are work up in Shemaim, which I don't understand so much of. Okay, it happens to be there's one paragraph in the second shah, which I have a little bit of understanding of what he's talking about, and I would like to share with you, where he talks about the importance of tefillah. What is the point of tefillah? What are we trying to accomplish through a tefillah? And he mentions there, it's on your sheet here, what is the point of tefillah? And he says the whole point of tefillah is to be mosif kedusha in the world. Kedusha and Kavod Shemaim in the world should be greater because of our tefillah. That's what we should be concentrating on. Not about ourselves. He even points out that there's a comparison of tefillah to a soldier. Lashon chelo, okay? His soldier. And he says the same way a soldier goes into the army. And when you're in the army, you're not in the army for yourself. You're in the army in order to protect the country or conquer something, depending on what the situation may be. You totally give up of your own individuality, your own successes, your own ruts on desires, and you give it up for the greater whole of the kingdom. The king, the master, whatever he may be, the governor, whatever it is that you're serving for him and the country you're serving for, you give up of yourself and everything is for the master. That is exactly what he says tefillah is all about. What is this business you're asking for yourself in tefillah? It's not about you. It's about Kavod Shemaim. It's about the goals of the Shem Hashem, that we're in Churban stage. Everything's about Kedusha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look inside for just 1 second. He says, five lines down, came in the line, Kain ra'ui ma'od l'ha'adam hayashar, a person who's straight, Lasum kol kavanaso v'tohar machshavto b'tfilaso rak lahosif teit koach b'ha'olamos hakadoshim. All our kavanas and all our thoughts should be about being attacking the higher realms, the higher spheres, the worlds. That's what we're coming to do in this in our tefillah. That's tefillah. Ulorer b'kolo hakol ha'elyon. We were trying to awaken the voice of up on high from HaKadosh Baruch. They should send down bracha to us. It's all very nice. If that's the case, let's assume he's right for right now. What about every single day when we daven? We're davening for Kavod Shemaim? I didn't think so. We have the main part of Tzvon Esrei. There are three brachas in the front, three brachas at the back. Okay? We have Shevach, we have Hodah, three at each side, those are for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The other 12 brachas, 13 brachas, are for me. Or us, collectively. They're on a prati level, on the klali level. They're for me. They're for us. They're called bakashos. Things I want from Hashem. So where's the Kavod Shemayim here? And he addresses this in the next paragraph. Go on, the next paragraph. Ve'einenu ro'ot, we see with our own eyes, by Rosh Hashanah's tefillah, that it's exactly what I'm saying. From the beginning to the end, it's all about Kavod Malchus Yisbarach Shemo. Shetitaleh kibatchilah, it should be like it was originally before Chet Adam HaRishon. Ve'gam nusach tefillah shel kol hashanah, and also the nusach of the tefillah the whole year round. Af shelefi pshuto hanira rubo kikulo misudar al inyanei tzorchei atzmenu, even though it apparently looks like on the outside it's all about ourselves. Vardai barur lekol mevin, anyone who has any clear thinking understands. And if you look inside, it's clear that way. If you really know anything about tefillah, you understand it's not about yourself, it's also about Kedusha, and that's what our Shmoneh Esrei is about also every single day. So here, I have two questions, but there's only one question, okay, because we're up to question number three, which is, let's say, first of all, it's difficult to see the tefillah that we say every day in the light that Reb Chaim Milojin is saying, which is that it's all for Kavod Shemayim. But let's say we can understand that, and that's the same purpose as the tefillah Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So then I have a simple question. So make up your mind. Either we should daven the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur davening the whole year round, because of our Kavod Shemayim, or we should daven about the Kavod Shemayim nusach of tefillah of Shemoneh Esrei every single day, also Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. They're both the same goal. They both are about Kavod Shemayim and about the greatness of the Kedusha and fixing the Olamos of Ahai. So, why do they have two different nusachs? Why do we have two different types of brachas? We have Shmoneh Esrei and we have the Malchus Zichronos and Shofros. They don't look anything alike. If the end all is they equal each other, then just have one nusach and decide. Doesn't matter to me which one it is. You can pick the one during the year, pick the one on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Well, let's do the same one the whole time through. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? Are you all sleeping? Not yet. Okay, so, Mirz Hashem. So, the third question is, why do we have two different Shmoneh Esreis throughout the year if in the end of the day, they're for the same purpose, which is Kavod Shemayim? My last question is, the fifth kasha, the fourth question is the Haftorah on Rosh Hashanah. We say the Haftorah, we read the parak about Chana, okay, and how she was hoping and wanting of a baby. She davens very, very much to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in the end, she was zocheh to a wonderful child, Shmuel, and everything was wonderful. What does it have to do with the point of Rosh Hashanah? Why is that the Haftorah? We're looking at all of Tanakh. We want to find in Tanakh the parak that is going to zero in on the yesod, the purpose, the foundation point, the principle of Rosh Hashanah. And we found this beautiful story. Penina's making fun of her, and she was Avin, and she goes to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and she was like drunk. Okay, it's very, very nice. And a lot of tefillah, halachic tefillah, based on Chana's tefillah. But in the end, why is that the parak that is connected to Rosh Hashanah? Okay? A lot of questions. Okay? They say a famous story about the Barbanel. Anyone ever learned to the piece in the Barbanel? So they have a story there, which was a guy, and he met up with his friend many, many years. Yeah, they were friends, and then they were both religious. And then many years later, he saw his friend wasn't religious anymore. And he said to the guy, what happened? He said, it's all the Abarbanel's fault. He said, what does it do with the Abarbanel? So he said, I started reading the Abarbanel, and at the beginning of every piece, he has about 20 or 25 questions. He said, and then at some point, I just fell asleep. Each time was the same story. So all I was left with was like 1,000 questions on Yiddishkeit, and I had no answers, because I fell asleep before I got to the end of the answers. So I became a kofer. So hopefully, we're not in that situation. Today, we have four questions. Let's summarize, and we'll get to the Yisod. Four questions are the following. Why does the Yalkut Shimoni only say we daven to Hashem that he should keep in mind our tefillah Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? We don't ask him to keep in mind our tefillah the rest of the year. Simple. Second question, if you were writing the Nusach of Shmoneh Esrei for Rosh Hashanah, wouldn't you choose the tefillah of the rest of the year as opposed to the tefillah that we have, Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, and those are the things we really want to ask for, why are those missing in our tefillah? Number three, the Nefesh Chaim says that all tefillah is about our Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about us at all. And even though it's difficult to see that in the Nusach by our regular day, everyday tefillah, it's all about our Kadosh Baruch Hu. So fine, so if it's all about our Kadosh Baruch Hu, why are the two different words that we're using in order to give over the same point? At the end of the day, it's all the same. So daven one of them the whole year round, all 365 days. Why do one for 3 days and one for 362 days? Do it all the same. And last but not least, what does the parak of Chana, as we say, what does it have to do with Rosh Hashanah? Why is that the parak that we chose in all Tanakh to read the Haftorah? It's special for Rosh Hashanah. Adkan, we're good? You with me? Okay. We're going to answer this with a mashal. Okay? The Pashat mashal, it's a beautiful mashal. It's tailor-made, okay, mamash, for this discussion that we're having right now. Okay? How's your guys' Hebrew? Pretty good? We can read a paragraph inside, we'll be okay? Okay, we'll read it quickly. The mashal, okay, is in the bottom here. It's specifically called Matnas Chaim. And in the Sefer, he brings this mashal, and after you read it, you'll see it's going to be crystal clear what's going on. He says the following: Mashal Mahadavar Dome, middle of the first line. L'sar echad shayam moshel al medina gdola. There was once a king, a governor, head of the country. Asher kol oshro balo mischar shal kol minei tzorche b'niya. This person, this king, how did he get rich? How did he become the king? He had materials for building materials. He would sell to all who wanted to build in the country. Anyone wanted to build anything, he owned all the building materials in the country. So he became very rich. Everyone wanted to build. Okay, they had to come to him. He charged a lot of money. He became rich. He became the king. V'chol habanayim hayu konim etzlo etzim v'avanim u'melet. They would come and they would buy from him wood and stone and cement and whatever else you needed to build. V'chol shar chomrei habinyan. Whatever else you needed. Hasar hazah ya ish tov lev. He had a good heart, this king, though. Asher hirba lehatim anshei medinaso. And he would be very helpful to people in the Medina. He had a good heart. He wasn't just money hungry, and all he wanted to do was build up for himself a lot of money. He also had a soft spot somewhere deep inside for people as well. There was one guy there who really was a good kablan. He was a brilliant kablan, and he really liked this guy. So he took an extra interest in building up this guy's building business, and he helped him a lot. He gave him a lot. He didn't charge him as much. Asher b'yalduso kirvo hasar v'yichniso beito v'emidu al raglav ad shekeit kvarnas l'rosh kol banei hamedina. And this one guy, the king, took him under his wing, and he became the top builder in the entire country. Because the king helped him out, and the king obviously owned everything. So if the king helps you, and he gives you material, and you can build more and more and more and more, you become the richest, biggest kablan in the country. And that's it. Yom echad, ba habanai hazeh el hasar. One day this particular, the builder, came to the king, the governor, v'haitziya befiv, and he had a suggestion. Ki acharei shehitbonen al kol hatovot shegemalo hasar ritzono la'akil tova v'livnot lo armon mefu'ar lichvodo. The guy said, listen, he thought about his life. He looked back. 20 years ago, I was nothing. I was penniless. Okay? I was a 22-year-old starting out. I had nothing. And here I am now. I'm 42. And now I have tremendous wealth. Where did it all come from? It came from the governor, from the king. He recognized where it came from. So he came to the governor and he said, you know what, I really appreciate what you did for me. I'm taking a step back. You know what I want to do now? I built a lot of houses. I built tremendous hotels. I built humongous skyscrapers. Now I want to take a year off. You know what I want to build now? I want to build a palace. A palace? So Sounds like a nice idea. Who's going to live in the palace? The king wants to know. He says, push it. It's for you. I want to build you a palace. This palace, you've been here a lot of years. Look, there's a crack over here. The paint is chipping over there. The plumbing is not what it should be. The light's not what it should be. You got to get with the times. Let me build you a brand new palace for yourself. You deserve it. You're a great guy. What's the king going to say? Cheetah. So the king hears this. Come, move on. Samach hasar ma'od hazeh. Wonderful. V'amalo lakach et kol tzorche ha-binyan me-ha-machsan shelo li'vnot ha-binyan kirtzenai. He said, whatever you need, you know where my machsan is, you come. Whatever supplies you need, you just come, give in a paper, whatever you need, take it, and you go. Okay? Until it's done. Okay? And the faster you build it, even better. Okay? They take out a piece of paper, they sign up, they have an agreement, they shake on it, they sign on the bottom, okay? Not gonna charge him anything. He's doing it for free. But he wants to build the cover of the Malchus, a beautiful, beautiful palace. Okay? He's off to the races. Umehayomahu. Hayaba ko yom beyom lemokam hamachsan shal asari im reshima shal ko tzorchei oso hayom. V'chol avdei asar ratzin l'sharso. The guy would come every single morning, okay? There'd be a line of builders. They're all waiting in line for their materials. This guy comes with his piece of paper. He goes straight to the front of the line. All of a sudden, all the king's men who are running the machsan start running around because Plony showed up. And all of a sudden, they're getting busy. They have to get the materials fast. And everyone's busy with this guy. And all the guys are in line are sitting there, huh? We've been waiting here hours to get a few pieces of wood. Just some few 2x4s so we could go continue building our stuff. Who's this guy? Zemevilo Eitzim, Zemevilo Avanim, Zechalano, Zed Latot. People are running to bring windows and doors and all kinds of stuff. He takes it for free. He doesn't even pay. Could you imagine standing in line there with the other bills are feeling like this is disgusting? Who is this guy? He comes here, he buzzes the line, he doesn't pay a cent. He runs out, he gets stuff right away, and everyone is running around to help him out. And we are the schleppers. We're standing in line here. We got nothing. What's the secret? Kamuvan. Shar ha-konim ishtomemu. The other konim, they were standing there, they were shocked. Al ha-mar'eh, eich she-kol pa'am shu nichnas, menichim osam v'ponim elav l'sharso v'umekabel ha-kol b'li la-gid klum. No matter what happens, whatever they're involved in, whatever this guy shows up, also middle of the day if he comes, after he realizes he's got something, he needs something else, he comes, and every time he shows up, the same thing happens. Whoever they're involved with, whatever order they're filling right now, they drop it, and they run to this guy and they fill up, they fill his list, his wish list. ומקבל הכל, בלי להגיד כלום, רק על ידי הושטת רשימת צרכה, וגם אין עליו לשלם כלום. And he doesn't pay anything, he just gets whatever he wants. On the spot, 2 seconds, everything's good. Ma she'enkin hem tzrichim lishalem al hakol over la'socher u'miyad b'lishum hamtana. He doesn't have to pay anything, but they have to pay. They have to pay a big price, and they have to wait. Ad she'noda lehem ki hu boneh b'shvil hasar u'lichvodo dirat pe'er v'hadar v'az hevinu ki kein be'emet ye'elo. And then they finally were asking, everyone was asking what's going on, and finally one guy in line said, guys, don't you know? This guy agreed with the Melech, and he's building him the most gorgeous palace you've ever seen. Mishalora, the palace that this guy's going to build the Melech, you've never seen a palace like this in your life. And then all the guys said, oh, wow, that's interesting. We had no idea. That makes a lot of sense now. Okay, he's building a palace for the Melech. So of course he has a straight route, okay? Straight into the Melech. Of course all the Melech's people are going to run around for him. He's building a palace for the Melech. It's much more important than the house we're building for this guy, and this guy, the Kaban's building a house for this guy, and this Kaban's building a house for this guy, and a shopping square, and a supermarket, okay? All kinds of exciting stuff going on. But this guy's building the palace for the king. What does this have to do with what we're talking about? This says Manasheim is exactly what is happening on Rosh Hashanah. Now we have to zero in and pay attention. What is going on? There are two stages with the agreement of the Kablan. One is, he comes to the Melech. The Melech has done tremendous things for him, just like the Kabbalah has done for us. Let's just keep the parallel now. Okay? Kadosh Baruch Hu and us, and the king, and the builder. Years and years and years, the Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us everything we need. Baruch Hashem. We have tremendous Seat Nishmaya, how we have tremendous Shefa Bracha, the things we've wanted. Baruch Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu has been Mezakeh, each and every one of us, tremendous privileges and wonderful things that he's given us, and he continues to give us every single day. At some point, we stop, we say, well, why was I zochet to all this? So nice. Where did it all come from? So part of it's your parents, for sure. Part of it's just your community, for sure. Part of it's your school, for sure. Part of it's your wonderful Menahel. He also helps out, also great. But then, you really step back and say, well, where are they all getting that Siat Dishmaya from? Where is it coming from? Is it from Kodesh Baruch Hu? Everything came from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's the one behind everything. You know what I'm going to do? That's it. I'm going to do something for Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm going to build him a palace. Okay, we're keeping in mind the mushroom. We're going to build him a palace. What palace are we going to build at Kodesh Baruch Hu? Le Pe'er, Le Chvodo. What palace are we building? We are building the palace called yourself. Every single person was put here to be a Armon, a palace, a gorgeous edifice with beautiful pieces inside, with all the riches and all the beauty that you could possibly imagine, the shine and the chain. That is the palace that we're building for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? I want to build your palace. I want to dedicate myself for the next year, or the next 5 years, or whatever it may be. Let's take 1 year at a time. For the next year, I want to dedicate myself L'Kavod Shemayim. It's for you. I want to build a palace just for you. I want to be metaken myself. I want to come close to you. I want something that really, really shows my Hakaras HaTov and the deep appreciation that I have for our connection that we have. That's my palace. Hashem says, that sounds so nice. That's really beautiful. Shkoyach. You know what? Sold. You can do it. We agree. You can start right now, today. When do we do that? When is that day? That is the day called Rosh Hashanah. We come to Kodesh Baruch Hu and we say to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're everything. You're exactly what the whole world is all about. And we are here to just continue that. We're here to be in this world, to be a palace, to be a chariot, to be something that is Kavod Shemayim, that brings greater Kedusha to the world. We're here to serve you. That's what we're putting this worth for. We're here to serve you, Kadosh Baruch. We're trying our best. We're now going to dedicate ourselves even more. We're focusing on what our job is. We're going to serve you, Kadosh Baruch, really, truthfully. We're going to make a deal. From this day and on, we're making the deal. Can we agree upon that or not? Great. What should the tefillah look like then, of that day? Not us. This is the day where we're recognizing Kadosh Baruch's greatness. We're realizing how much we have to give back to him, how great he is, how he's the king of the universe, and how we are trying to bring Kavod Shemayim to this world. That's exactly the tefillah we have in Rosh Hashanah. Look at the words. Look at everybody. You're gonna rule over everyone, and your kingdom is gonna be the Pe'er. It's gonna be wonderful. It's gonna be gorgeous. Everyone's gonna recognize that everything was created. Is gonna recognize that you created them. Everyone's gonna say, anyone who breathes is gonna say, you're the king. You're what it's all about. That's exactly what the dedication, when the builder came to the king and he wanted to make this deal with him, this is exactly what he said to him. And that's what we say to Kadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. So we obviously talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu then. Let's finish the mashal. What happens then? the rest of the year, okay? The builder comes, every time he comes to the machzan, to the storehouse, he gets whatever he wants. Why does he get whatever he wants, right on the spot? Why is it so important? Because he has to deal with the Kaddish, with the Melech, right? That he's building him a palace. The same thing is true with us. When we come to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and now we have our bakashos, okay? We have our requests. What are our requests? What are they coming for? Are they for me? They're not for me. Or my whole existence and everything I ask for is in order that I can fulfill my job. What is my job? Well, you signed off your next year that your job is to build a palace for a Kaddish Baruch Hu, which is yourself. You're going to be Kaddosh. You're going to try to do Kedusha. You're going to try to be a wonderful person. You're going to try to be mostly Kavod Shemayim. Try to do Torah Mitzvahs as much as you possibly can. And Bidos. And everything that you're supposed to do. That's amazing. In order to do that, I need Das. I need to be on a good relationship to Kaddosh Baruch Hu. Tshuva. Slicha. I can't have all kinds of tzaros that are going to take me away from what I want to do. If we have tremendous tzar, the bracha re'ena v'chulei, u'galena me'ir'la man shemech, is not talking about geula like we think about it. It's talking about geula from all kinds of personal tzar. If a guy is for 3 months laid up, he won't be able to do his job. And if he's sick, he also can't do his job. And he doesn't have any money, he also can't do his job. The requests that we have, which look like they're personal requests, when they come after we sign the contract, and after we've made our declaration and our commitment to a Kaddish Baruch Hu of what we want to be, they are looked at in a totally different perspective. They're no longer personal bakashos. They're personal bakashos in order that I can do the job and be the person and do what I agreed to do for the next year. So that it's not about myself. It's about myself in order that myself, which is I've given over to the greater being of Kaddish Baruch Hu, that I can do my job to its fullest. So I need all these things that are on my wish list. I need all of them. But if I only have the requests without any backdrop, without any foundation of what it's built on, it would just look like things like we said before. I want this, 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 and this. Well, should you get those or not? Hashem could decide. But when it comes as stage two, after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we've laid the foundation, think about the builder. You lay the foundation, okay, in the ground for the house to be built on. You've written up the contract. You signed the papers with the Kaddish Baruch Hu of what you agreed to do and how you see yourself and what you want to accomplish for the next year. Then everything is looked at through those glasses, through that perspective. So everything is built on your tafkid and what you want to accomplish. So then your requests are requests that are going to help you bring about your agreement and your declaration and dedication that you gave to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They're not about yourself. Indirectly, you also, it's nice to have those things also, but they're going to help you to get to your goal. Let's play now. Last point for right this second. There's no clock in here, which is very, very dangerous. I don't have any idea what time it is. What time is it? Okay. So, let's go back to the questions now. What was our questions? First question was, why are we doubting that Rosh Hashanah and Kippur are accepted out the rest of the year? It's pashut. Now, if you don't have an agreement, if you don't make a commitment, you didn't sign on the dotted line, you didn't come to a contractual discussion and commitment to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, then everything else you're asking for are just personal requests. You need to first have the fact that if a Kaddish Baruch Hu turns away at Rosh Hashanah and Kippur davening, the rest of the year has nothing to stand on. The whole point is that the rest of the year is built on stage one, which is my commitment of what my topic is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please don't turn away my Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. If we turn away Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which is what I dedicated myself, I have set out myself to a new goal of dedicating myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving him everything to be an Armon, to be a Pe'er Palace in this world. If he turns that away and doesn't agree, then when the guy comes to get his materials, he's turned away also. The materials are only going to get the materials if you're building a palace for the king. But if he turns away the agreement, then what are you going to ask for? You're going to ask for personal requests, and we'll say, well, do you deserve it? Do you not deserve it? I don't know. We'll check it out. We'll do a cheshbon. We'll check that person out. Is he really on such a high level? Okay. Maybe yes, maybe no. But if it comes after you agree to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it comes after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur was accepted, so then it's much smoother. It goes straight. You go straight to the front of the line. You ask whatever you want. That was question number one. Question number two was, how come we don't do the Nusach of Tefillah the rest of the year on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? We should do that. As opposed to the Tefillah that we're doing. It's not right. If we came to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, like we started off and asked everybody, what do you want to daven for? And we list all the things that we want. But what's it based on? What's the backdrop? What's the foundation of it? For myself? Because I'm so important in this world as an individual with no higher intention, no higher kavanas, no higher realms, no higher spirituality that I'm looking for, just for me, because I'm so special, give me blah, 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 blah. Mechi tesed, why should he? That's why there are two different nuschos of tefillah. The first nuschos of tefillah is getting the third question also, Nefesh HaChaim. Why we ask the Nefesh HaChaim says, why the two, if it's all about Kavod Shemayim, why is there two different nuschos? We're answering two and three now together. It's because they have different, they're all for Kavod Shemayim. But there's different stages in the agreement. There's the first stage, which is the actual commitment and the agreement and the signing of the contract and the commitment and the dedication and the appreciation for what has been done. And because of that, I want to build the palace. I want to build myself. I want to make myself into something that Hashem will be very proud of in this world. That's the foundation. That's one nusach of tefillah. That's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And then we build on top of that everything we want to ask for. It's also for Kavod Shemayim, because it's in order to enable us to do what we want to accomplish. So it's also for Kavod Shemayim. It's just that since stage two, it has a different terms. It has different things that we're asking for, different requests. But they're not about myself. They're about myself in order that I can do what I set out to do for this coming year. So on that backdrop, it makes a lot of sense. Just think about it for 1 second. Okay, I was trying to think of a good example, but I think this is a good example. It's in line with what we're saying here. If you looked, okay, I'll date myself. Okay, there are taller buildings these days. Let's just think of the Empire State Building for 1 second, all right? It used to be like 2 or 3, now it's probably like 10 or 12, whatever. But let's just take this Empire State Building for 1 second, okay? And you ask somebody, how is this building standing? How did they get it to stand so tall? So how does it not like fall down? I said, well, what's the deal? You just take a piece of land, you start building on it, and it stands. That would be foolish. Because anybody who knows anything realizes that if you don't pour the foundation and the ground and then build off of that, then the building will not stand for so long, will not be very strong. And over the years, and over the different climates that happen, it will be destroyed and will come down. But when you have a foundation underneath it, and then you build off of that and on top of that, then it's not in a vacuum, it's built on the foundation. And that's the same thing we're saying here. The foundation work is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We're laying the groundwork, we're making the agreement, we're making the contract. We're realizing what our tafka is. We're realizing how much we have to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu we have for him. And then after that, we, on that backdrop, our requests are looked at in order to fulfill what we set out to go ahead and do. We need all those things in order to assist us in that. Our last question was, what about Chana? What's so important about this parashah and Tanakh that should be the Torah? So, in the Chanas Tefillah that she gives, okay, at the end when she finally asks, she wants a child. The lashon she uses in the pasuk is the following: "V'nasativ." I want a son. Why do I want a son? Because it makes me feel good. If I want to be a mother, it's very natural. She said that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to be able to be a mother. I haven't had any children. It's very sad. I want to have a child, like everybody else has, like my sister has. Why can't that be enough? That's not what she says. What's the lashon that she uses to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when she asks? V'nasativ l'Hashem kol yemei chayav. Why do I want a son? That's nothing to do with me. That's not for me. It's because I want him so that he can, I want to give him over to serve you, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, all of his days. That's why I want to have a son. It has nothing to do with myself. It's all for you, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, after she has the son, I'm sure she also davened that he should be well, and he shouldn't be sick, and he should be healthy, and he should be able to serve Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he should Torah mitzvahs, and she cried Friday night to she lit candles, like every other Jewish mother should do. Beautiful. But you know what it's built on? It's built on the original agreement she had with Kadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says she was nifkar on Rosh Hashanah because she dedicated her tefillah, and she said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want the child to be yours. The same commitment, the same contract that we're making with Kadosh Baruch Hu, she made on the future child that she wanted to have. And then she was offered to a child. And this is exactly what Rosh Hashanah is about. This parak was chosen because it's exactly what the tefillahs are telling us. This is about making the commitment, appreciating, building the palace, building the amazing structure called ourselves, and rekindling our relationship, and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all that he does for us for so many years. And now we're taking back a step and saying, you know what, let me build you a palace. Do I have 3 more minutes? Okay. So, what is the time? 9? Okay. Are we with you for 3 more minutes? We're okay? Everyone's out. One more point? Connected. What I've just suggested, I hope, will give everybody a little bit of a different perspective when you come to Shimon Esrei, okay, on Rosh Hashanah, and now for the rest of the upcoming year, to recognize the relationship. The rest of the year is not disconnected and disjointed from Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. They really look totally different, but they're really step one and step two. They're built off each other, and they're looked at and in a different light, stage two, because we have first an agreement and a contract. It's interesting, and I had this until I understood better Tfilos, and maybe you guys have experienced this also, which is that there are certain lines that we get excited about all of a sudden in the Tfilos. We're saying a lot of things that we don't really understand so much about, and we could read the article and it helps. Okay? But they're not really related to me. All of a sudden, you get to this really, really juicy line, and it says the following. Zachreinu l'chaim. Oh! Now we're talking. Life! That's what I'm waiting for. I want to ask God for life. Melech hafeitz b'chaim, v'chasveinu b'sefer hachaim. Ah! Beautiful. Finally, I'm thinking about the next year. I want to live. Please write me in the book. Right? Am I off here? Is like that? Like that's like a little more like excited than saying Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibur, Vahanara. But this has a little bit more like personal attachment. Zachrei l'chaim, kasvei b'sefer hachaim. But sometimes we forget the last 3 words of that one. What do they say? Lemancha Elokim chaim. Why should you remember me for life? Why should you inscribe me for life? Because that's what I want. Because it's fun. Because I want to have a good year. Because I'm interested in myself. That's not what it says. You have to finish the sentence. L'ma'ancha Elokim Chaim. For your sake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please write me in the book. This is where we're making the contract. Don't lose it. Don't lose focus. So we're all of a sudden going to ourselves? That's not the right spot, guys. Got it wrong. Kosveinu, for what reason? Leman chaylo kim chayim, so I can serve you. For your sake, please put me in there. Not for my sake. If all of a sudden now we switch, and now we're trying to focus on ourselves, because, oh, these are words we understand. And this is what I want. It's not about a kosh bach, now it's about myself. Oh, that's great. You missed the last part. The last part is the culmination of that whole sentence. For what purpose? What higher goal is there? The man chalakim chayim. And the same thing is true also later in Shemoneh Esrei. We say, katshenu mitzvosecha, v'sein chalkeinu besorasecha. Right? V'kadosh us with the mitzvos, and we should give us a chelek in Torah. Sabeinu mituvecha, be masbiya, satiate us, give us satisfaction with their, all the goodness, from the great, the good material things that are in this world, which we zoche to be happy with the salvation that you're going to give us, you're going to save us, it's going to be amazing. These words, right? Give us Torah, give us mitzvahs, good things, material wealth, physical, ruchnias kedusha, ruchnias things, material things, we got it, it sounds all great, right? What are the bookends of where that line comes in? Where is it placed in the Shulchan Aruch? So you'll check it out afterwards, okay? Okay, it's in the last bracha, okay? The last paragraph of the bracha of Melocha Kol Ha'olam Kolo Bichvodecha. We have the bracha, we say, Melocha Kol Ha'olam Kolo Bichvodecha. It's all about you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay? And you should rule over the world. Your malchus should be great. And then we stick in a line about ourselves. And then what does it say? What does it say? What was the master? Anybody? We say that house also. That's not true. What do we say after that? V'taher libeinu! Purify our hearts that we can serve you. Every time we start to lose focus, and we start to turn everything to ourselves, and we make it all personal about me, we're reminded that there is a higher realm, and there's a backdrop here. There's a lema'ancha. We sing it, right? We like the song. Sounds great. What is a lema'ancha? And I want Torah, and I want mitzvahs, and I want material wealth, and I want everything good. Why? Entirely vain love the Chabemis. So we can serve you really, purely in our hearts. We'd like to wish everybody, Mr. Shem, you have a great, great year, and a great tefillah, Mr. Shem, Yom Nerayim. And I hope maybe the perspective of recognizing now what Shmon Esrei of Rosh Hashanah is about in Yom Kippur, and the backdrop after you've planted those seeds and signed off the papers, made the contract, looked back and appreciated where we're at for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then our tefillah is the rest of the year, Mirat Hashem. All the other days will have that as its foundation, will have that as its backdrop, and Mirat Hashem, we should be all zoche to a tremendous ksiva, the chasima tova, and the ganz brachos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Ladies, I'd like to thank Rabbi Cohen for sharing words.